We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National...
testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. Where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here's an interesting story from NASA. Houston, we have veggies. Now, you might enjoy the packages of freeze-dried astronaut ice cream found at many museum gift shops, but real space food is not known for being nearly as delicious. Well, right now, NASA is doing some experiments, and they are working on a project that will represent the first time ever attempting to grow sustainable food for human consumption in space. Now, what do you think is that plant, that consumable veggie that they have chosen to pioneer this operation? It is lettuce. Yeah, lettuce. Not surprisingly, they are trying to harvest lettuce there, and they say it could offset thousands and thousands of dollars they spend to constantly send just 1 pound of food to the International Space Station. And also, they are exploring the possibility of using 3D printers to make space food. I'm not sure what the benefit is of printing the food. It seems like the paste is going to taste the same either way. Maybe it's psychological if it looks like something more appetizing. Well, who knows? The world is changing in big ways every day. Soon they'll be eating on Mars, I presume. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You know, I thought you were going to say the plant might have been cannabis because there's so many...
What?
Well, or hemp, because there's so many... You can make rope with it. You can do all... There's all kinds of uses for it. That's what I thought you might...
You definitely live in Asheville, don't you, Forrest?
I do. Well, there's so many uses for it.
Well, I think that they would get a lot more private funding if they announced that we're going to let them get high as hell in outer space with billions of dollars worth of technology.
Maybe.
I like the way you think, Forrest. They should put us in charge of the operations, the food and consumption program there in outer space. Well, let me tell you, what a program we have tonight.
We have a panel of people in this studio. It's packed out. It's brimming with talent and egos. It's going to be very pretty or very ugly, depending on the direction of the conversation. We'll start with the ladies. We have, as usual, our mascot for the show now, even though her face is not yet on the sign at Wright's Coin Shop, Investigator Shelley Wright. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Extremely busy. It's the fall. Everything's kind of a blur. Puppy Fest is coming up in 1 week from today, so I'll talk more about that later. But Shelley, you have a little female backup in the studio tonight, which is a big change for you. Hopefully the show will not become a little classier for that reason. We like to go deep into the gutter during the Dark 30 hour. Behind every great show, there is a great woman, and the woman who helps us enormously putting this show together behind the scenes is the ever illustrious Kuka. Welcome back to the studio, Kuka.
Hey, glad to be back.
She's so meek, like a little mouse. Here, go ahead and put that microphone right here. Swallow that thing. Yeah, there you go. Additionally, we have the mad scientist of the program that everybody is always in touch with their weird stories, who does a great deal of the research and sets the tone for this show. So if you really have a problem with anything, you know who to contact. Mr. Mobius, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And just to demonstrate how much we enjoy calling this show a truly international stage, we are taking it one step further here, turning it into a global program, because we have our great friend in the studio. He is the man from the Netherlands, where the women aren't picky and the weed is sticky, icky, icky. It's Rob from Holland. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Josh.
It's been a while since we've had you in the studio. You and I have been like ships passing in the night. I've been traveling a lot. You've been traveling a lot.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you are a world traveler and a swashbuckling adventurer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more or less, I think.
So
I try to enjoy life, yeah.
And the ladies, man. Yeah? Yeah?
Okay.
He'll take that. And so hour number two tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about, well, not only what you've been up to, but also some comparisons between what's been happening in the U.S. this past year versus what's been happening in Europe. Because this past year in the U.S., the big talk has been surveillance and privacy and Big Brother type issues.
Correct.
And I wonder how that is all falling into place in Europe. In fact, in Europe, you probably have a lot more cameras in operation at stoplights and things like that. Would
Absolutely,
that be correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the direction that we're kind of heading in. So we're going to dig into all that and a lot more. But let me just go ahead and address something that we talked about on the program last week. This coming Tuesday, September the 24th of 2013, is going to be the 100-year anniversary of the very first time the Brown Mountain Lights phenomenon was printed in a journalistic medium. They appeared in the Charlotte Observer. And so I recently have been doing some press events. I actually have a booklet that I wrote about the Brown Mountain Lights. It's going to be coming out soon. And also on a side note, September 24th, the anniversary of the Brown Mountain Lights, is my wife Lauren's birthday. So happy birthday, Lauren. I love you. Glad you made it another year through this insanity. And so since the Brown Mountain Lights are such a topic of enormous discussion and debate, it's not surprising that once in a while somebody would try to take advantage of this and slip some type of a false story. Now, Mobius, there was a story that popped up that I barely had time to look at since I just came back into town about a couple at the Brown Mountain Lights Overlook that was attacked by a UFO.
Right? Yes.
And it turns out, now obviously as soon as we saw the story, we said, okay, it appears to be an authentic story because it was scanned from a real newspaper. Well, guess what? Appearances can be deceiving. We believe that it's clear that story is a hoax story, and somebody has actually gone to the extent of taking an authentic newspaper framework and incorporating that story just to fool people. Isn't that right?
Yes. About two sites have been circulating this story with fictitious information, fictitious newspaper clippings, but it is absolutely, totally false.
Yeah. So, well, I had never heard of anything like that happening at Brown Mountain. I wish that it were true. That would be extremely cool. I do know a story about some people who were at the Overlook, and this one comes from a personal friend, and so I presume this is a bit more authentic. And a light appeared right next to the car this group was in, and it scared them so badly that they took off, and the light followed their car for miles before it dissipated. That, you know, that seems to be a more credible eyewitness account, but when you're talking about a UFO literally bumping and bashing a car around, I've never heard of that happening. Have you?
No, I know of no story like that.
The aliens are far too friendly for that. So, don't believe it. Don't believe it if you hear it. Have you ever seen the Brown Mountain Lights, Rob?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I saw some documentary about it, and I said, I heard your look talking about it before.
Yeah.
And,
well, have you been to Norway?
Yeah.
Okay. There is a phenomenon in Norway called the Hesteland Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very similar to the Brown Mountain Lights, but they occur in a valley as opposed to on a mountain. And at some point, I would like to make a trip over there to Hesteland, Norway, mm-hmm. and compare the two sites a little bit.
What I know about that one in Norway, I'm told, actually, is that they say it's a natural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you have your lighter clicking,
right.
you get a spark. And they say it's the same natural reaction between different crystals in the ground that actually make that sparks getting into the air and jumping actually from one point to another.
Yeah, it's a plasma.
Or a piezoelectric effect.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Mobius?
The wild card to that mm-hmm. is the scientist doing the observations accidentally flicked a laser pointer at the objects as they were appearing, and they were able to communicate and send back and forth, increasing complex communications, finally sending prime numbers. That information was actually put forth during the Vatican ET conference. They believed that it showed that they were sentient.
Well, you see, that is what makes this whole Earth-like phenomenon so strange and interesting. It almost seems like when you have a place on planet Earth that is naturally creating this much energy, it also triggers these other more paranormal activities around it. So as a scientist, you know, you can go there and you can look at what happens on a regular basis and focus just on the natural part. But you always have this extra layer of experiences regarding, you know, UFOs and time warps and people seeing ghosts and wacky little creatures. And, you know, it becomes this big multifaceted phantasmagoria of odd phenomena. And I think this is another good example how that if you want to look just at the nuts and bolts data, it appears that what's happening at Brown Mountain, just like what's happening at Hesteland, is a natural phenomenon, maybe similar to ball lightning or something that's electrically oriented. But then beyond that, you have all these weird things happening that the scientists don't feel comfortable discussing, but they know about it and they experience it when they are doing their sort of more solid work.
Well, Joe, maybe it's because some pheromones actually feed themselves with the energy that's getting out of there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that, you know, it is maybe a cause and effect relationship where the beings are there because of the energy, or the energy is causing some interdimensional warp that opens up windows. I mean, that's why it's so fascinating to dig deep into these things. But we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I have a story for you about one of my favorite subjects, McDonald's. There's nothing that exemplifies Americana more than a good McDonald's story. And I saw this headline that caught my attention, and I'm going to share it with you. And I think when I read it, you'll think what I was thinking. It turns out it's not quite the way it was presented. But, hey, we dig into the unusual, the amazing, the extraordinary, the absolute weird every Saturday, keeping you company. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Misunderstanding all you see. feels forever.
From the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Hard to believe that we are already into the Halloween season. You can see it every time you walk into a store. The costumes are everywhere. People are coming out in droves for the Haunted Asheville ghost tours, walking tours, trolley tours, ghost hunts. And as a matter of fact, I am going to be personally leading a Haunted Asheville walking tour tomorrow night, Sunday, September the 22nd. At 9:15 p.m. So if you want to meet me and take a little late-night stroll around downtown Asheville, we'll have a lot of fun. Just go to hauntedasheville.com. That's hauntedasheville.com for all of the details. Maybe it'll be one of those spooky, foggy nights. It seems like the weather's turning a bit, and we might be able to expect that. In the studio with a great panel of folks tonight, and, you know, I was looking through the news for this evening, and I saw this headline, Armed McDonald's Manager Turns into Hamburglar and Holds Up Own Restaurant. Now, let me stop right there. When I read this, I was thinking, a guy has dressed up as Hamburglar and robbed McDonald's.
Rubble, rubble.
That's brilliant. Is that not genius? Because, you know, if Hamburglar robbed McDonald's, then we would all say, well, that's what you get, McDonald's. What were you thinking? You hang out with guys like that. Look at him. He's wearing a mask. He's got stripes on him. Of course he's going to rob you. In fact, what a strange sort of character to have associated with America's favorite fast food, right, Forrest?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it didn't work out quite that way. Hopefully I've created a tulpa of some sort now. That'll be next week's news. San Mateo, California, police there say a local McDonald's manager has confessed to robbing two McDonald's restaurants at gunpoint, including his very own branch. The guy's 42 years old. Police arrested him, and he went up there with a small caliber handgun and admitted that he had ordered the employees into the store's freezer. And so now the guy is in jail. Pretty strange. I mean, it's kind of sad, though, to think that you could be a manager of McDonald's and think it's better for your career to rob the place. Because I would imagine, like, a district manager for McDonald's would make a lot of money. I've always thought that's my backup plan. If everything else fails, I will become the emperor of McDonald's. How hard can it be?
I'm wondering one thing. Is the food better in prison than at McDonald's?
I wouldn't know, would you?
No, thank God.
How prevalent is McDonald's in your neck of the woods there, Rob?
Yeah, a little bit too big, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
And now, do you have unusual items in a European McDonald's?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like what?
We love our Mac Croquettes.
Mac Croquet?
Croquettes.
Oh, Mac Croquettes. Okay, so that's like a biscuit or something? Or what?
No, it's like a normal McDonald's, only the Mac. The difference is, what we put in between is called a croquette. It is hard to explain. It's a little white, soft, tasty stuff that we put into it, and it's crusty on the outside.
Wow, that sounds delectable.
And mustard on top of it, absolutely.
Okay, so even you don't know what it is, do you?
I do know what it is, but I have no clue how to... You know, Rahu. What is Rahu?
Rahu?
Rahu. That is what I mean. It's made out of... I don't know what it is. I can't translate it. I have to look it up on the internet or something.
Did they print it in the back room?
No, but it definitely tastes good, yeah.
Well, is the economy doing okay over there in Europe?
No, not really.
Well, you know, we keep hearing stories
Josh,
about...
Josh, I got you a picture of the McCroquette.
Oh, we have
right
one.
Here.
Okay, well, let's see.
Looks like a...
Looks like a burger.
Well, no, we're talking about this item here on the side here.
Okay, give me a second. Let's step over
looks
here.
Looks sort of like a processed hush puppy looking.
No, it's extremely soft inside with little pieces of meat.
It's a fried ball of some sort.
Yeah, it's a fried. You can have them in as a roll type or a little ball type. It's actually damn nice food. I love
it,
actually.
Ball croquettes or roll croquettes?
Well, you got it close. A croquette is the roll one, and a flat one is the mac croquette, and... The little roll, bitter roll.
That is one there that looks like the burger also.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay, it's like Is it chicken? Is it like chicken?
No, it's really hard to explain what it is. It's white. It is made out of the fluid that you create by boiling meat. It's brilliant taste, absolutely.
You have mystery meat.
One person here says it was kind of a mush with a slightly green tint to it. I think there was lots of potatoes involved.
No, there's absolutely no potato inside.
That's just an American's version after eating over there. That's
okay.
That's what they saw it as.
Well, we had a lady here in one of the restaurants we went quite often. She explained she was at friends in Utrecht, in Holland. And she said, the only thing I really was impressed with was the croquette. So the mac croquette, actually. She said, that was the most gorgeous thing I ever had. And we tried to look it up on the internet to make it for a restaurant, but it's a little bit too complicated.
Oh.
Because croquette is actually French for chicken.
No, so, colif is a veal.
Huh?
Colif is a veal.
Colif is veal?
Veal. The meat, veal.
Okay. Well, I'm saying from the French I know, veal. Croquette is chicken.
Huh? No, it's definitely not.
Okay.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
we're on the mission. Have special sauce.
I can only invite you all to come over to Holland and have a try for yourself.
I think I would love that.
Or ask your local McDonald's to import them. I don't know.
That would be an interesting request to put in. Maybe it'd be a hit. Well, you know, people in the U.S., they continue to come up with creative ways of making money aside from robbing McDonald's. Here's a story from Deerfield Beach, Florida. That's our Florida bell. We have so many stories from Florida, we now denote them with the bell. A woman there has scammed four people out of more than $100,000. Apparently, this 57-year-old woman has convinced people to invest in what is called PanFan. It is a device which supposedly attaches to the rear of a toilet, sucks air inside of it, and purifies it. But instead of using the $107,000 of investment money to buy the pan fan, she took the money and spent it on clothes, spa services, dinners, and more. And so the deal here is she was telling everybody they get their money back plus a percentage of the profits for everyone sold. And, of course, now she's in trouble. But I read that and I thought, wow, who knew that would work?
It does work.
Hey, you know the pan fan?
How often do you get in a plane?
Often, yeah.
How often do you have to stand in line for the toilet?
Often.
Does it smell bad? Not really.
No.
So what do you got? It's actually sucking.
Yeah?
On the, how do I put that politely? But actually, it sucks the air there, absolutely.
You know, I tell you, I don't know if this is at all possible, if this is even plausible, but it has crossed my mind that if one were sitting on an airplane toilet and somewhere in the plumbing a crack developed, an incredible suction would form and suck the individual's insides completely out of their behind into the toilet and spray it for miles behind the plane across the countryside. And eventually, when you would open the door, you would just find this holed-out human corpse sitting there, glued to the toilet, completely disemboweled. Do you think that's technically possible?
No, but it will be, but it will be funny. Absolutely.
This is how you occupy your spare time thinking?
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of things to worry about on an airplane, and that's somewhere on the list, I guess. I just don't sit on the toilet on the airplane. So I just do it right there in my seat. It's better that way. We're going to take a break. When we come back, now maybe you've heard this story. It has been, it's been circulating for a few days now. And it's from the UK. And it's really geared toward those of you, and apparently there are many of you like this, who have a legitimate fear of clowns. That's right. I'm going to tell you, just in time for the Halloween season, about the creepy clown that's been terrorizing people in the UK. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
My senses reel. Fatal attraction. Holding me fast.
sophisticated. I'm such a zero. So sophisticated. I'm such a zero. Don't burn, don't burn, don't burn, don't burn, don't burn. Now I'm getting relocated. Destination zero. I'm so dislocated from my real born hero. You wanna see me fall? What you asking for? I've had a job in hand, and you're giving me aggro. Don't burn, don't burn, don't burn, don't burn, don't burn. So sophisticated, I'm such a loser. She knows how to use me, but I don't wanna lose her. Baby, don't run. Don't run, don't run. Gonna prove them wrong, find a place of space to rise soon. Cause I'm proving I'm so sophisticated. I'm such a zero. She's so sophisticated. I'm such a loser.
It's the show that explores the summit of mankind's enlightenment and the pit of his depravity. It's called Speaking of Strange. We're happy you're spending your evening with us tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Be sure to visit speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show. More updates on weird news around the world and links to all the stuff that we think you'll be interested in because we're interested in it. Here's a story from Milwaukee. Police arrested a 19-year-old man who was trying to steal prescription drugs from an animal hospital there. They say it's a stupid criminal story. He was sawing into the ventilation system. He was completely bare naked, squeezed in there into the shaft with a hammer and flashlight, and didn't go any further. They found him there when they came in the morning, and sure enough, he was trying to get a hold of painkillers and other drugs that would be given to dogs and cats. And what better reminder for Puppy Fest than a story like that? In fact, let me spend a moment here telling you all, this is the last time you're going to hear about Puppy Fest on this show, because Puppy Fest is next Saturday, September the 28th. It's a one-day-only event at the Asheville Civic Center. It's now called the U.S. Cellular Center. And Puppy Fest has been called American Idol with paws. It is the ultimate search for tomorrow's superstar celebrity spokespuppy for a line of dog food products like the Green Earth Pet Food, which is produced here in Asheville, North Carolina. We're going to have competitions like a puppy race, and we're going to have a puppy costume contest, and there's going to be a puppy petting booth for all the attendees. We're shooting a TV pilot of the whole thing, and it starts at 11 a.m. in the morning and ends at 7 p.m. next Saturday. And my business partner, J.R. Yarnell, who also produces the Asheville Tattoo Fest, he wrote up a little bit of information that we can go ahead and give out here on the air to make it clear. You don't need a puppy to show up. Most of the people there will be spectators. But if you have a puppy that you would like to compete, because the winner is going to get a trophy and a cash prize, and, of course, that puppy will be on the pet food, you can just pop up that day between 11 a.m. and noon next Saturday with your puppy. Puppy has to be 8 months old or younger, and you have to bring your vaccination records because we don't want any sick puppies after this, and you have to sign a waiver. And spectator dogs are okay. You can bring a spectator dog, but, again, got to have vaccination records and waivers. Registration is free with admission. Now, admission is $10 for adults, $5 for kids, and also, of course, a portion of proceeds go to the Humane Society, the Animal Compassion Network, and Brother Wolf, and there will be active animal adoptions taking place that day at the event as well. We got other fun stuff like face painting, and we're working on some magicians and stuff. Anyway, we're not sure how many puppies are going to be in the contest already. We've had a couple dozen sign up through email. Because we will be filming a TV pilot at the event, everyone attending may end up on camera, okay, whether you're a spectator, a sponsor, or a vendor. So if you don't want to be on TV, you know, you need to know to let us know. There will be facilities, of course. We're going to have areas for the dogs to use, cleanup stations. All dog owners will be given bags when they enter in case of accidents. And if anybody here in the studio shows up, well, you guys will be in charge of waste management, right? Right,
Mobia? Yeah,
Cuckoo's
jumping.
They're
all over.
She's jumping up and down for that. So basically, if you're, and we have a lot of vendors. It's not too late to become a vendor for less than $100 to get a nice booth there. 9:30 a.m. is when vendors set up. 11 a.m. is when the doors open to the public, and we have the registration opening for puppies. At noon, the contest begins. We have an international panel of judges that will be evaluating each of the contests. And, you know, we should have this over with by around 5 or 6 p.m. and break down and load out about 7 p.m. So if you're interested, go to puppyfest.com, puppyfest.com. Also, if you go to our Facebook page, Puppyfest is one word. Don't type in puppy space fest. It's one word, Puppyfest. And we've never done this before, and so it's a big experiment, and we think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope that you will come out and be a part of what may be a historic event next Saturday, September 28th, in Asheville, North Carolina, at the U.S. Cellular Center. Maybe, we'll even have a clown or two there. What do you think? Is that a good idea?
No.
Do you have a creepy clown running around?
No.
I'm sure we can dress up a puppy as a clown, an evil clown.
No.
Can I dress up as one as I'm taking?
No.
I'd rather have you dress as a belly dancer. That worked out very well last year.
All right.
And have you done any more belly dancing recently?
Unfortunately, no. I need to get back into the swing of practice.
Well, this is a family-friendly event, but puppies are puppies, so if you would like to attend, we can make an arrangement for you, maybe even after-party material. We'll be ready to unwind and get crazy, you know. Puppy people, they're insane when the lights go down. Here's a story, though, about clowns from the UK. An unnerving anonymous clown has been sending shivers down the spines of residents in an area called Northampton there. He's lingering on street corners in full dress. He's been doing this for at least three nights in a row. He first did it on Friday the 13th. And he has a white face, drawn on eyebrows, a red wig, and a ruffled collar. They say he looks very much like Pennywise, the clown from the Stephen King-inspired 1990 horror film It. And they say that he has also been seen standing on the pavement there waving a big teddy bear, and the teddy bear looks creepy too. A lot of people are absolutely terrified because he is going so far as to even approach people's private property and knock on their doors. So should this be okay? Is this cool to have a creepy clown freaking people out on the street?
Oh, yeah, it's totally cool. It's awesome.
Waving teddy bear around.
I mean, I know that you mentioned during the break, Rob, we won't get too specific, but you've had some bad experiences with clowns, or I should say they've had some bad experiences with you.
Yeah, you know what cleaning clowns are, no? They're the guys that run around hospitals.
Cleaning clowns?
Cleaning clowns, clinic.
Oh, clinic clowns, okay.
Yeah, they're scaring off little kids, that kind of guys.
Yeah, Patch Adams sort of.
And I can be in details. I mean, my daughter was in hospital for an operation there, and I had a big sign say on the door, no clowns, because she hates those things.
Mm-hmm.
I call it things, sorry. And, I mean, I was sitting beside her bed, and those two of those came in, and his red nose actually exploded. I didn't put my fist in it. Sorry, I was so raving mad, I couldn't stand it.
So, why do you think it is, and obviously, and that was a particular case, you were looking out for your daughter, but there are grown men who are afraid of clowns. I know this.
Youth experience, I think.
It's just one of those things that's deep in their psyche.
You've been at a party as a kid or whatever, and he scared you.
A clown killed their father or something, and now... I mean, do you have kind of a fear of clowns, don't you, Forrest?
Kind of.
Now, do you fear which for worse, clowns or ketchup?
Clowns.
Okay.
Where
does your fear of clowns come from?
Honestly, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was a little kid, a clown might have put ketchup on my burger or something and just freaked me out.
Oh, so the clowns and the ketchup are part of the same nightmare for
maybe.
You. And Kuka, what do you think about it?
I know where my fear of clowns came from. I have this picture of when I was probably like 4, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and there is this like husband and wife clown, and my mom took me to the circus, and I remember they were like trying to perform and do these balloon tricks and stuff in front of me, but I was like, I understood that I was supposed to like it because, you know, it's something enjoyable for kids, but at the same time I was scared. And so my mom took a picture of me, and it's just me staring blankly at this camera with these two like happy clowns standing next to me, like cheek to cheek. It's, I should bring the picture.
And you never got over that image. It stuck with you forever.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard the story repeated so many times. It must be true once it's repeated enough, right? And you know the story I'm talking about. There was a news story years ago about some kid who kept telling, I think it was a little girl, kept telling her parents, there's this clown that comes into my room at night. And like all parents, they blew it off. And it turns out, for months, there had been a homeless man who had broken into their house and was living in their attic. And at night, when everyone was asleep, he would go down to get food out of the fridge and whatnot. And he was afraid he would get caught and identified, so he dug around and found a clown mask from a Halloween set. And he would put this clown mask on and sneak down past this little girl's room and say, shh, as he walked past her door to go to the kitchen. And so it was true. You got to be careful. You know, you don't know. Maybe your kids are telling you something that's based in reality. We're going to take another break here, I guess. And, gosh, boy, the hour's flying by, because when we come back, we're going to be in the last segment of this show. And I've got a story here about a police shootout with a 107-year-old man. Boy, that's kind of spooky. He's got not much to lose, does he? We're going to talk about that and a few more wacky things before we dig into hour number two of tonight's program. What is Big Brother up to here versus Europe? I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's a show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange.
Well, my name's Tom Lee Pettimore.
What a great panel we have in the studio here in Asheville, North Carolina tonight. An international panel. That's why next hour we're going to talk about some issues related to, well, our relationship here in the U.S. with Europe and just how bad this whole Big Brother thing is getting. And it's a topic we actually avoid sometimes here on the show because it's a little too depressing and everybody else is talking about it. But this is a good opportunity tonight to give you maybe a fresh perspective. And, you know, you see these stories about just how intense the relationship is becoming between the public and the authorities. Here's a story from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Police received a call there saying a man had assaulted a couple of people in his house. And when the police approached, somebody started shooting at them from within the house. Turns out the guy inside shooting at them was 107 years old. The SWAT team arrived. They slipped a camera into the room where the man was holed up, and they saw him armed with a handgun, and they saw the scenario. They slipped gas into the room through a window. They kept shooting back and forth. They eventually had to kill the guy, though. And so I suppose when you know you're in a battle with a 107-year-old man, you may as well shoot to kill, because I don't think he's going to be giving up. What's he got to look forward to, huh? It's kind of weird. But it reminds me also of this story from Leesburg, Florida, about another guy, 46 years old. He's in trouble because he called 911 and reported that his roommate had touched his girlfriend, and he demanded deputies come over immediately. And he waited a few minutes, called 911 again, and said, "Hey, you better hurry. He has a machine gun now." And so at this point, you know, officers are really rushing. When they arrived, they go inside to discover there was no machine gun or anything along those lines. The guy told the deputies, "Well, I had to tell you that because I needed to get you here, and I got you here, didn't I?" And the deputies were angry about the fact that he'd lied. And then he said, quote, "Did I interrupt you from your donut break?" End quote. At which point, he was in even more trouble, especially since the man was released from prison just last month. Well, he's in bars or behind bars once again. They say he had gone on a drunken bender that night at his trailer in the mobile home park. So, some guys just need to stay away from telephones. Here's another guy had a run-in with the law in Ocala, Florida. Ocala man went into a 7-Eleven store there. 21-year-old guy goes up to the clerk, and he says, quote, "Bro, I got something to tell you." So the clerk comes over, and the man pulls out a stick of some kind, not even a gun, pulls out a stick and says, "Give me all you got." So the clerk handed over all the cash. And just before the man walked out of the 7-Eleven, he says, "Don't call the cops. I'll pay you back later, bro. I'm really blanked up right now," end quote. Apparently, paying back is not an acceptable policy after you've committed a robbery of a 7-Eleven. People are desperate for money, Rob. What can I tell you, man?
Yeah, I know.
Are people doing this kind of crazy stuff in Holland?
No, we're not that desperate.
Not yet, anyway, huh?
No, I don't think we ever will. We have a social network, as you can call it, that's better. I think a lot better than here in the U.S., of course. If you need some cash, you always can go to the government and see what you can get.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Wow. What if I visit? Can I do that then?
No, I don't think so. No, but if you're living and you can pay your rent, you can actually apply for assistance on that level, and they will pay your rent for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they take the whatever you make or whatever you get from the government, they take your money and they give you pocket money. They simply say, "This is enough to buy your food, and we pay the rest of the bills for you," even if that amount doesn't cover.
You know, one thing I want to talk to you about next hour is where this legacy of Dutch wealth comes from. Because, you know, even during the American Revolutionary War, I believe John Adams and some of the forefathers, they went mm-hmm. to the Dutch and tried to borrow money, you know, yeah. because everybody knew the Dutch had a reputation of being very good with money. And then if you look into, you know, the Netherlands in general, and you look at places like Switzerland connected to the Swiss bank accounts that yeah. are famous or infamous,
mm-hmm.
Where does all this come from exactly? I have an idea. I have a theory about this, but it involves, well, a secret society. We'll see where next hour goes. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Call your friends, call your neighbors, call the family. Tell them to tune in. It's a good show tonight. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll continue with hour number two right after this.